Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Yes, school's out for summer, and who knows, maybe school's out forever as far as Mayor Bloomberg is concerned, if the dysfunctional New York State Legislature doesn't act by midnight tomorrow night. Mayoral control of the New York City public schools will expire, returning the schools basically to a governance system that no longer exists. So what happens after that would be anyone's guess. We will talk to Randy Weingarten, the teachers union president, about that this hour. We'll talk to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani about that this hour. But before we get to Randy Weingarten, who is standing right by, I do want to let you know one other thing that's going on this morning. This just came down from the U.S. Supreme Court just a minute ago. It wasn't even in the NPR newscast there at the top of the hour. The Supreme Court has ruled that white firefighters in New Haven were unfairly denied promotions because of their race. And that reverses a decision that High Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor endorsed as an appeals court judge. So nominee Sonia Sotomayor basically overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court moments ago on this very crucial race-oriented decision. We will talk about the implications of it later on today. We'll get some guests up on that, and we'll see what it means both for affirmative action around the country, for racial justice around the country, for Sonia Sotomayor as a nominee as well. So that will be coming up, and that just in. But Teachers Union President Randy Weingarten joins us now. She is currently relinquishing the reins as New York City Teachers Union Chief to head the national AFT full-time. And hi, Randy. Congratulations on your promotion.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
And go ahead.
It's always very mixed to leave the job that I love probably more than anything else I've ever done.
And since school is just out, we will open up the phones for right now with first priority for New York City public school teachers to talk about mayoral control or to say goodbye to Randy Weingarten or anything else at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Anyone may call, but we'll make sure to get some teachers on at 212-433-9692 or post your comment or your question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up in a little while, we will also take your calls on what you think Bernard Madoff's sentence should be. You can start calling with those at 212-433-9692. As you know, he's getting sentenced in a Manhattan courtroom at this hour. He's in the courtroom now. He has to listen first to statements by some of his victims. And we'll get a report from the courtroom as soon as we have any news there, and we'll get your reactions to that. So, Randy, what's your understanding of what happens on Wednesday if the legislature does nothing?
Well, look, I think that the mayor saying there's going to be, you know, riots in the street and it's going to be like the Soviet Union was, you know, a bit, I would chalk it up to he's just so frustrated, because that was a bit of an overstatement. But there is, but the flip side is also true. All these folks who are saying, oh, the rule of law is so important, and, you know, I spent a lot of time with the folks who are making this case. The rule of law is so important, except right now, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. I think essentially what happens is that every act that the chancellor does, wearing my old legal cap, every act the chancellor does or the school district does from Wednesday morning on, if a governance system is not put in place, is illegal. And, you know, people will say, oh, it doesn't much matter. But a sunset matters a lot. And ultimately, I think that it may not be a chaotic situation Wednesday morning. It's not as if buildings will fall down or we're going to have a situation like we had on 9/11. But what we're doing is we're doing the exact opposite of what this governance system was supposed to be about all in the first place, which is the creation of stability and cohesion and a credibility in public education. And so I think that it's a disaster. And that's why, regardless of whether it's Shelley Silver's bill that gets passed, whether it's Shelley's the assembly bill that gets passed and signed with a chapter amendment that, you know, does some of the things that the Senate may want to do, there has to be a school governance plan in place on Wednesday, or shame on all of us.
Now, this just in from the Madoff courtroom, and Randy, we're juggling a few things here, as you know, this morning with the U.S. Supreme Court overturning the Sotomayor firefighters ruling, with Madoff in court right now, and we don't have a sentence for him yet, but the judge says that the federal probation department, and this is federal court, recommends that Madoff get 50 years in prison. So we will see if the judge takes up that recommendation, but he apparently started by citing this federal probation department recommendation that Madoff would get 50 years, which of course would mean life. So we'll follow the developments there. So Randy Weingarten, were you saying in your answer that the union will be advising teachers that Chancellor Klein has no authority over them come Wednesday morning?
We're not going to, on Wednesday morning, we're not going to advise anybody about anything. But what we're trying to do is make sure that people understand that this is a disaster. But every issue, I would say that every, from the perspective of reading the law, if they don't put an, if this doesn't get passed by the Senate and signed by the governor Wednesday morning, then immediately the borough presidents and the mayor are going to have to put a board together. The first act of that board is going to be to create an assignment in terms of the chancellor or designate a chancellor.
But wait, let me just back off a minute, because presumably with the assembly passing a renewal of mayoral control, with you folks at the UFT reaching a deal with the mayor to renew mayoral control in more or less its present form, we know that once the Senate gets back into session, whenever that is, the status quo will basically be reenacted. So if it's just a matter of waiting for the Senate to start working again, why would they go to the trouble of putting a new system in place?
Because ultimately, Brian, you have no idea what's going to happen at this moment in time. And the law, This has been, and maybe it's simply because I was a social studies teacher and also a lawyer, but it boggles my mind that people think that a sunset doesn't really mean a sunset anymore. On July 1st, something's going to happen. And if the mayor then doesn't follow, and the borough president and the state doesn't follow what the law says at that point that the old Board of Education goes back into place.
And that would be a 7-member Board of Education.
Correct.
With only 2 members appointed by the mayor, the other 5 appointed, 1 each by the borough presidents.
Correct.
So would you recommend the borough presidents appoint a Board of Education member on Wednesday morning if this law does sunset?
I do. I recommend that. And let me just also say, I think that a lot has been minimized about Silver's bill. Our position has been throughout this year a continuation of a modified mayoral control system, because that provided the resources, the checks, the resources of continuity and stability, but also that there had to be more checks and balances to try to deal with the stuff that we've learned over the course of the last 7 years. And I think that the fact that the mayor adopted Silver's bill, in some ways, has obscured that Silver's bill has a lot of checks and balances chalked in there, including what happens at the local level. But my point is this. You can't just say a sunset of the law means nothing. And, you know, just chalk it up. One point or another, the Senate will get back into the session. All that does is reward a lot of really terrible behavior here.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
If we did that with kids, you know, what happens? Oh, you know, something, they forgot their homework one day. Okay, don't worry about it. What about the next day? What about the next day? I just think that if we don't do something to show that a sunset was real, that laws mean something, you know, this is why, I mean, I'm sorry to link these two, but look at Madoff. Look how many years he got away with something that was just that has just bankrupt so many people's lives. Laws need to mean something.
All right, you gave us an opening here. So Nick in Cliffside Park is calling with his preferred sentence for Bernie Madoff. Is that right, Nick?
Yes. Hello there.
Hi. What you got?
Very simple. I think he should spend the next year, because he couldn't take it for more than a year, confronting the people that he ripped off face to face. I think he could do 3 a day for 8 hours a day, and I would give him weekends off. The reason for that is I see no indication whatsoever that he expressed any real remorse. He needs to hear from people and see them face to face.
So is that in place of prison or in addition?
No. As far as the prison goes, he should get the full 150. He should never be released. And okay. I think that the way we punish white-collar criminals is way too leniently.
Nick, thank you very much. Well, that's an interesting suggestion. Randy Weingarten, I don't know if you have any comment on that, but actually make somebody like him face his victims.
That's a great suggestion.
So, listeners, you like that? Post to our comments page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Is Nick onto something? Also from our comments page, Lauren, a teacher in New York City, Randy writes, I am a New York City public school teacher, and I've decided that if the legislature doesn't get it together, I will take over the school system. I bet I can do a better job. Give me a call.
But you know something? I've often said that when all these folks used to say, well, the union ran the school system, we would have done a better job if we ran the school system, because we actually care so much about not only how it runs, but how kids are treated and how teachers are treated.
Here's another teacher, Alan in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC with Randy Weingarten. Hi, Alan.
Hi. I'm just wondering, if mayoral control sunsets, what will that mean for negotiations for things like salary and schedule between the UFT and the city?
The city has always had, you know, the hidden secret here is that the city has always had control since the fiscal crisis of the 70s of the finances of the school system and of collective bargaining. But I think that we'd be in such a disaster. I think that there's going to be such confusion walking into the beginning of the school year. In some ways, the negotiations will become even more important.
But all contracts that are currently in place would remain in force?
All contracts that were signed in the period of time, we would make the argument that everything that was signed that predated the sunset remains in full force and effect, because remember, they were authorized during that period of time. The issue becomes what happens to everything new until a new system of governance is put into place. That's why I'm advocating, as I think the mayor was, that, you know, you have to actually go back to the old system if there's no new system in place. And that's part of the reason why it's chaotic, and it creates huge discredibility in terms of New York City public schools.
Alan, thank you for your call. Now, speaking of a contract in force, the union recently made a deal with the mayor for your support of a renewal of mayoral control without much more power sharing. Why make the deal?
Brian, we never made a deal like that. I mean, that's not the deal. I know that
it's been widely reported that way.
I know. There's bloggers that report. There are bloggers that report things all the time, but it's absolutely not true. In fact, what we have done is, what I've done, and I've been on your show before, I've been in the same bandwidth about mayoral control since the beginning of September, and as has my union since the beginning of February. What we've said over and over again is that we wanted to have a system that continued the stability and cohesion that mayoral control brought, but at the same time have checks and balances. What's happened is that we just did a deal that actually we're very, very concerned, because we are in the worst recession since the Great Depression, and anybody who walks the streets in New York City sees that. Highest foreclosure rates we've ever had, highest unemployment we've had in probably 20 years. And so we've been very concerned about the school system's budget. We have about $380 million of cuts that are facing us in September. We've also been very concerned about what happened with the drop in the market in terms of pension systems and the amount of money that has to be put back into pension systems. And we're also concerned with ensuring that there's stability going into September. So the deal we actually made was that in exchange for some pension modifications that keep our pension benefits intact, but create in 10 years hence some more contributions, that teachers and kids are coming back after Labor Day for this school year and in the future. That's the deal that we cut.
Well, and I want to ask you about that teachers coming back after Labor Day part in a minute, but what's been widely reported is that maybe an unspoken part of the deal was that you would then support the mayoral control renewal in more or less its current form.
I'm saying that that's that essentially those who say that, like the New York Post, never heard the comments that we had made over the course of the last 6 months.
And are you saying that checks and balances that were not there before, that will be meaningful curbs on the mayor's power, on Chancellor Klein's power if he stays in that position, are being enacted under this bill if it passes?
I think that there are checks and balances, meaningful checks and balances, that are in Silver's bill. And we've said that from the moment that Silver's bill came out.
The big citywide policy issues, they certainly would not have any independence on that educational priorities panel, right?
And essentially what has happened, Brian, is that we lost that argument. Remember, we raised that argument in the beginning of January. We suggested a panel that had mayoral minority control on the panel, yet the mayor still appointed the chancellor. And we lost that argument, meaning that the Assembly, the Senate, as well as the governor, all said, no, that's not where they're coming from.
Right.
And so what we did was that we started working with the Assembly to come up with the other kinds of meaningful checks and balances and transparency that we believed are important and is important in terms of including the voice of parents and teachers on a school level and on a policy level.
Outgoing UFT President Randy Weingarten, my guest on WNYC. She's becoming the head, and she already is, but now she's going to do it full time to head up the National American Federation of Teachers. Karen in Park Slope, retired history teacher, I understand, Karen?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi.
Yes, I retired about a year and a half ago, and I think 90% of it was because of Mayor Bloomberg. I think the only good thing out of this Albany debacle would be a blessing in disguise if he did lose some control, all control.
What was so bad?
Well, it is a whole manipulation of the grade system. And therefore, especially a teacher I was in 22 years, the pressure, you know, because A, they wanted an older teacher out, the pressure to change grades, manipulate them, which bore down on the I'm a little nervous here.
That's okay. Pressure to what? So when you say manipulate grades, change grades, you mean to give kids higher
grades? To a higher level, to more inference reading, change them to a higher level, leave out past students who maybe did not show up for 42. I had three students senior year, economic students, 52 days. The pressure borne upon me by the principal and the AP to pass them was incredible.
Interesting. Now, Karen, we've heard that from teachers over many, many decades, I think. Randy Weingarten, do you think that's a charge applicable to Bloomberg in particular?
I think that what Karen's saying is that what the mayor did in giving principals this kind of huge transferring power from superintendents to principals, which changes under the Silver's bill, created more opportunity for the kinds of things that Karen has said. But the flip side is this. We have had years of that going on where at least what's happening is both Sandy Feldman and then Mayor Bloomberg said, let's stop social promotion. But what Karen is pointing out to is a very important piece of data, which is sometimes the mayor and chancellor say publicly one thing, but the schools do and principals do the exact opposite. So you'll hear the mayor say, I've ended social promotion. I've ended that practice. But then what happens is that when we raise it and say, wait a second, we're still seeing it in some schools, like what Karen just said, that's why we passed the whistleblower law, because some of the principals will still do it because of the accountability requirements.
You know, judging, and Karen, thank you for your call, judging, Randy, from my callers over the last 8 years, the least happy people with Mayor Bloomberg and Chancellor Klein's autocratic rule, as they see it, are your members. Think that's true?
I think that the least happy people across the country these days have been school teachers because they have been dumped on tremendously in this whole zeal to push on accountability. Now, what's happened is that we are in this moment of time where everybody understands that public education is the key to a competitive America. But the absence in New York over the course of the last few years of having a real voice for teachers is what has driven my members crazy. And they're right about that, and that's why the checks and balances became very, very important. But I've seen my members be upset about Chancellor Klein. I've raised this over and over and over again with the mayor as well as publicly. We had a lot of cantankerous contract negotiations as well. But this is something that is national, meaning that if the voice of teachers is not part of the equation in terms of how we move education forward, then we are not going to have better results than we've had in the past.
Now, so two things real quick. We're going to run out of time in 2 minutes. One, I'm going to interview the U.S. Education Secretary, Arne Duncan, later in the week. What's your toughest question for me to ask Arne Duncan?
My toughest question for Arne Duncan is, how is he going to absolutely ensure that there are voices of teachers on an everyday basis in the new accountability paradigm, that for once and for all, teachers should not be blamed for the ails of all of society? We are the people, and my members are the people, who spend their lifetime making a difference in the lives of kids, and how are we going to support them instead of continuing to scapegoat them?
And on this slightly longer summer vacation for teachers in New York City that you just negotiated, they won't need to report for work before Labor Day as in recent years, but rather on, I guess, the same day as the students.
The students are now coming in on Wednesday. They're coming in on Tuesday.
So one day. Because there was an op-ed in the Daily News on Thursday that said, quote, those two extra teacher days before the Labor Day weekend were a crucial reform won by the mayor in 2005. The 2 days are widely regarded by principals as essential for getting the school year off to a smooth start, and they're even more vital for giving rookie teachers, normally 7,000 new teachers a year, some minimum preparation before entering classroom for the first time.
Actually, the guy who wrote that editorial didn't know what he was talking about. The new teachers actually come in during the summer to get some of that kind of preparation. But the point is this, Brian. We did something in terms of the last couple of days, the last couple of weeks, something that the teachers who have families very much want the week before Labor Day. The traditional start of school is the Tuesday for them, the Tuesday after Labor Day. For kids, it was the Wednesday after Labor Day. And we worked all that out. We worked out an issue that the mayor wanted worked out. We worked out an issue that we wanted worked out.
Do you think that that's going to be rock solid? Because I know one teacher who's afraid the principal will ask them to come in early despite the new deal, and they'll be afraid to say no or face retribution.
I think that this is a, you can't solve all problems, but this is a problem that we have to continue to work on. The respect for parents, the respect for teachers, the fact that if something is stated that we've gotten to an agreement on something, people have to honor that agreement. It's the same in terms of the sunset with mayoral control. It's the same in terms of this. If people actually really respected each other, that principal in that school would never even dare to ask that teacher that question. Now, a lot of teachers come in all summer long to prepare their classes, but ultimately, this is where there's still a lot to be done in this system in terms of how you respect people.
Randy Weingarten, graduating from New York's United Federation of Teachers to run the national AFT. Randy, we'll keep talking. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still coming up, we have Rudy Giuliani to weigh in on the dysfunction in Albany. And we'll have a smackdown. Which state government is worse, New York or California? We'll do that with an LA talk show host. Stay with us.